Welcome to Straight Talk on Health with Dr. Vincent Medici. Knowing that ultimately it's God who does the healing, Dr. Medici acts as the maestro, orchestrating a person's health through right timing and right therapies, using traditional, natural, alternative, and spiritual practices. Dr. Medici says it's time for people to wake up to their innate potential to heal and to be given a doctor who can orchestrate that healing. Dr. Medici is currently working toward his PhD in biochemistry at Long Beach University, with additional study in acupuncture, kinesiology, and quantum medicine. He's the curriculum director of the Santa Monica Shiatsu School. And now, here's Dr. Medici.
Good morning. Good morning, everybody. Merry Christmas. Happy New Year. Next week, we'll do a show for the New Year. Today's show, not having so much to do with Christmas, but I'm sure on the tip of many a tongue, females especially, but everybody can relate. Today's show, bladder infections, the chronic ones, not the ones that go away with the antibiotic, not the ones that go away with the quick herbal fix. I'm talking about the ones that go away and then come back and come back and come back. Chronic bladder infections. What's more, another one that I really think has eluded the medical community, interstitial cystitis, solutions for it. How to make your body resistant to it, how to teach your body to get rid of it. You, if you'll get educated, as always, the theme of this show, if we could just get you educated, if I could just get you to see it like I do, interstitial cystitis, chronic bladder infections, and then that lurking thing that starts at 50, urinary incontinence, all of these would be put to rest. But are you willing to dig a little deeper? That is the question. Well, if you're with me, let's dig a little deeper. As always, get to the website, straighttalk.cc. That's two C's, .cc, not .com. And that's two T's. All right, you're on the website. Show 240. See that picture up top? We'll get to that later. Let's go to the anatomy. Got to go to the anatomy first. Can't understand it if you don't go to the anatomy. Picture number one. Let's look at the anatomy. There you are. That's a female from the side. So this is picture number one. It's called a sagittal cut. The picture up top is a sagittal cut. That's looking into somebody from the side. On that picture, to the right of that picture, to the right of that picture is the pubic bone. That's the front. To the left of that picture, that's the back. So to the left of that picture, you see that big hollow space there. Kind of looks like it's in the shape of a sausage. That is the rectum on a female. Follow that rectum down there to the anus. This is picture one, the top picture, starting from the left and coming forward to where you see that empty space that kind of looks like the outline of a sausage. That is the empty space of the rectum. Follow it to the bottom there. That's the anus. Now, just come about an inch to the right of that anus, towards the center of the page. That is the opening to the vaginal canal. If you follow that opening to the vaginal canal, straight upwards. Okay, you with me? Follow that opening to the vaginal canal straight upwards. You can see the beginning of the cervix and the whole uterus, that thick wedge in there. That's the uterus itself, the thick myometrium of the uterus. Holding up the uterus is the bladder. And if you follow that bladder, kind of looks like a triangle. If you follow that bladder and that little line all the way to the bottom, that's the female urethra. Very important to get oriented here. You can't understand the physiology if you don't understand the anatomy, and you can't understand the pathophysiology unless you understand the physiology. To really understand how to fix your problem, you've got to have the anatomy. You've got to have the physiology, and you've got to have the psychology. You can't go at it from one angle. That's what people with chronic bladder infections do. Why do we dumb it down to dum-dum? You get your antibiotic, and you get another antibiotic. It works for a while, and then it doesn't work. The articles we're going to explore today are telling us that the microbes that tend to give you the UT infections, well, they've outsmarted many of the antibiotics, and these chronic bladder infections are becoming more and more prevalent, more and more common. Of course they are. In the end, the microbes will win. Only if you bring the strength of the human soul to the science will you find your competitive edge. I kid you not. Some of us have always said this, and some of us will never stop saying it. I'm one of those people. And certainly most or many are not going to hear that message. But that's okay, because you do. Look at that picture, that sagittal cut. Look at the rectum, look at the vaginal canal, and look at the female urethra. Number one, those holds are very close to each other. And those holds can be extra close to each other depending on the anatomy of the particular female. And on that basis, we're going to have a variation in your susceptibility to UTI infections. Now, there's still a lot to do about it, but you've got to bring in the anatomy, the comparative anatomy. Very important to do that. All right. Now let's go to another picture here. Let's go to picture 11. Nice colored picture. So now you're going to look at that female bladder from the front. And where is it sitting? The female bladder is sitting right there in front of the uterus and the ovaries. It sits a little lower and a little more anterior to it. That's very important to remember. Because in that abdominal cavity, everything is touching everything. And if everything's touching everything, if one thing twists out of place, everything is going to twist out of place. I'm going to give you a structural perspective on what's going on in there. And you're going to understand ultimately that while, yes, we're going to get the nutrition and we're going to study, I've got some great articles. We're going to study the science in the sense of the immune system, how these bugs attack, what inherent weaknesses might you have that you could alter if you understood the pathophysiology, how herbs might help, so on and so forth. But really, in the end, I'm going to end up in the structural dynamic and in the psychological dynamic. You never see chronic problems driven off just one of these dimensions. It doesn't happen that way. That's the parody. That's the ignorance. That's the innocence. It's the stupidity. It's the futility of the way you're being managed. If you're managing chronic UTI infections, interstitial cystitis, from purely a nutritional standpoint, from a purely allopathic standpoint, antibiotics, pharmaceuticals, you're never going to get anywhere. You get what you get. You know what you're going to get. Allopathic medicine works great short term. You get a flaring, raging UTI infection from the bowels of down below, and you pop the antibiotic, and you get the result. And if you get one of those every year or two, well, generally, what's the harm? But as any good doctor will tell you, there is harm in the chronic use of antibiotics. And there's harm in the untreated, constant, relentless UTI infection. It will begin to fibrose and scar out the inner walls of the bladder, something we'll look at later. So, short-term, acute, go for it. But we're not talking about that. We're talking about chronic. And to be in the realm of chronic, you have to go to structure. We're going to dive into that later. But just look at the setup here. So look at that picture. Look at picture number one. That's some of the anatomy. some of the great books describing the anatomy of the bladder, Frank Netter. Now, that is a name that really everyone should know. And these are books. I put them here. Picture number three. If you really want to study anatomy, to some extent pathology, the Netter Atlas of the urinary system. He was the Michelangelo of these drawings. Nobody drew like him. Here's picture number four. That's one of his books on the kidneys, the ureters, and the urinary bladder. Pictures say 1,000 words. You have to have your spatial orientation. All right. There's a little bit for you. Now, let's go up to the articles, top of the page. I've got three fantastic articles. The immune response to urinary tract infections. Click that article on. All right. The nature of immune responses to urinary tract infections. I'm going to spend about 5 minutes here. You relax, absorb what's useful, get the big picture, go back, read the articles later. Take your time, mull over them. These are not nutritional. These are hard science. But you can extrapolate out of them things that are useful. The nature of immune responses to urinary tract infections. The abstract. The UT tract is constantly exposed to microorganisms that inhabit the gastrointestinal tract. Now, what does that mean? You got it. It means that your female urethra is very close to your anus. That's what it means. It means it's very close to your vaginal canal. That's what it means. That's how you get exposed. So you see, you've got to understand the anatomy to understand how E. coli, in particular, from the GI tract, possibly from the vaginal canal, ends up sort of kissing that tip of the urethra and starts to seed the infection. Now, this resistance to infection is mainly ascribed to the versatility of the innate immune defenses in the UT tract, as the adaptive immune responses are limited, blah, blah, blah. Point being, yes, that urethra has an inherent tendency to take a sweep from E. coli from the perineal area, potentially from the vaginal area. But it's got lots of defenses against that. Of course it does. But there's sort of your setup. All right. Let's get down to key points. So just scroll down a little bit. Get you thinking here. Get you understanding. An overarching theme of the immune system in the bladder seems to be balancing the need to respond promptly, blah, 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 as the structural integrity of the epithelial barrier is disrupted during prolonged immune responses. We're going to look at the bladder itself in a few moments. We're going to look at the bladder. The bladder is a muscle. I showed you muscles a moment ago. The bladder is a muscle. And that muscle has an inner lining. And that inner lining is a bunch of cells. And those cells have to maintain their integrity. Or those little microbes will eat their way right through the lining on the inside of your bladder. And they'll wedge deep below it. And that's where they cause all the symptom. That's where they hang out and hide, if they can get through. Those epithelial cells that line the inside of your muscular bladder, that it's a muscle is important to you, that you've got epithelial cells lining the inner lining that must have integrity to resist the penetration. And those little bugs, E. coli et al., they've got lots of little sneaky ways of leaching through that epithelial layer and hiding. Now, your immune system's not going to be fooled. But if the immune response goes too long, if it goes chronic, You get a bladder infection every 2 to 3 months for years, this kind of thing. The inflammatory process just off the immune response is its own disease. A prolonged immune response will create a breakdown in the epithelial layer. The good guys, the macrophages, the dendritic cells, the mast cells, the neutrophils, the good guys that are going in there to eat that E. coli, devour it, and have you urinate it right out of your body. The good guys, if asked to work too long, too hard, over a period of decades, will start to create a chronic inflammatory state so that those epithelial cells will be easily penetrated by the next wave of E. coli. Fascinating, is it not? Let's keep scrolling down a little bit more. There you go. Scrolling down just to the bottom of the page. Although neutrophils are the predominant immune cells mediating bacterial clearance in the bladder, excessive neutrophilic response can cause damage to the bladder and predispose this organ to persistent infections. Yes, it can. How? It scars the area. Now you're thinking, you're going to begin to get fibrin deposition into the intercellular spaces of the bladder. Those of you who follow my show weekly, all over the world, I'm happy to say. Isn't that fascinating now? We're going to use the word scarring. Now, you see what it means to you? If you're new to the show, that inflammatory response, because the immune system attacks, causes the deposition of scar tissue. That's an evolutionary response. The body is programmed to lay down fibrin, scar tissue, in response to chronic inflammation. The body thinks it's helping itself. In reality, what you're guaranteeing yourself here is you're going to get more infections. We did the show last week on what? Fasting. Fasting, the process through which the body will look at its intercellular and intracellular space and just throw it away so it can be renewed. All these things come into play here. So, those of you who suffer from chronic bladder infections, interstitial cystitis, the chronicity of it starts to become its own problem because you're starting to develop scar tissue. All right, let's keep going. We're laying it down here. Next page, the urinary tract comprises the kidneys. Most of the tract is sterile. Protection from microbial colonization is mediated by blah, blah, blah. Do you see what I underlined there? The glycoprotein plaque, uroplacins, and a layer of hydrated mucus. Hydrated mucus. The body lays down mucus as a protective response to infection. But in a chronic sense, if that mucus is not what? Broken down and moved. If it's not laid down in copious amounts in response to chronic infection and then moved out, dissolved, decongested, thrown away, it will become a barrier in the intercellular space. It will become a barrier. It'll become its own problem. What other organ do you see this in? The large intestine. But of course. Isn't that fascinating? Those of you who have followed the show understand the large intestine. Understand I've done shows talking about mucus deposition in the large intestine. Huge issue. And that when you starve the body and you do these colon cleanses for a week or 2 weeks, what you're guaranteeing yourself is the decongestion emulsification, and elimination of all that old mucus. Well, you see, the same thing's going on in the bladder. But nobody does a bladder cleanse in a sense. We don't think in terms of the bladder like the colon. Someone with chronic persistent bladder infections never thinks that way. But there it is. If you can extrapolate correctly, that layer of mucus, that's a holistic key. Lots of holistic keys here. Soon we're going to talk about the holistic key of pH. I have an article up there, a very studied article, that despite the conventional medical view that acidic urine is anti-infective, we found very, very differently. We found that it's the alkaline urine that is very anti-infective. As you pushes the pH, as you push the pHs of the urine to 6.8 to 7 in that zone there, you maximize your defense against infection. This has been studied, this has been proven, and it's in dire contradiction to the prevalent medical model, which will soon change. This article just hands down shows you why, once again, the pH of the tracts of the body, from the vaginal canal to the large intestine to the bladder, all those pHs have to be what they're supposed to be. That vaginal canal has to be acidic. That large intestine has to be acidic. And that's why they made the mistake of thinking that the pH down through the bladder has to be acidic. And they were wrong. We'll cite the article in a moment. Let's finish with this one. Exciting stuff. Okay, now, I want you to go to this next picture. Hope we can really pull this off here. I want you to go to this next picture. All right, so it's not the first page. Yes, not the first page, but the second page. It says figure one, organization of immune competent cells along the UT tract. I blew that picture up. So to do that, you're going to have to go off the page now. You're going to have to go back. And you're going to have to, well, actually, let's see. My mistake. I apologize. I didn't blow that picture up. I didn't have a chance. What you're going to do is go back to the article where we just were. Go to this picture and see if you can blow it up. If not, that's certainly okay. I'll explain it anyway. So you're back on that picture too. Now blow it up as best you can with your computer. You're going to press Control Plus. All right. I want you to look down in the lower hand corner there of this picture, where you see those rows of cells that look like bricks. So take your time, the rows of cells that look like bricks. This is page 2 of this article. I want you to understand this now. It's important. I want you to look at those rows of bricks. Those rows of bricks are cells. Those cells are lining your bladder. They're not part of the muscular wall of the bladder. They're part of that inner lining. This is where all the action is. This is where the infection lives. This is where all the immune infective war goes down. But you have to understand, number one, you have a superficial epithelium. I'm reading on the left side of all those cells, those rows of cells, superficial epithelium, intermediate epithelium, basal epithelium. You're going deeper and deeper and deeper into the body. You have to understand that, because that's what those infections are doing. They're coming in through the urethra. They're crawling up into the urethra and the bladder. They're hanging out in the superficial epithelium. And unless your body can destroy them, they start climbing in. Go to the superficial, go to the intermediate. And as they deepen their fingers into the epithelial wall, your immune system has to come up with more and more complicated dynamic DEFCON 5 like defenses to the invader. And this is really how it is. Got to understand this to understand the nutrition. Got to understand this to understand the structure. You even got to understand this to understand the psychology. So take a look at that picture. Superficial epithelium, intermediate, basal, basement membrane. And now you see on the bottom, blood vessel. There you go. Deep to all this are the capillaries that are about to deliver the neutrophils, the macrophages, the NK cells, the mast cells, the dendritic cells, so on and so forth. There's your setup. Okay, so follow that page. Just so you see it, go back to it, don't get a headache. You don't have to understand it all. You simply have to keep going. Now scroll down. The majority of UTIs in healthy individuals are caused by E. coli. And that E. coli is living in the digestive tube. It's living in the large intestine. And yes, there's crossover from the anus to the vagina. Not a crossover in the gross sense, but bacterially speaking, there's crossover. That's what you're defending against. And let's keep scrolling. Box one, so we're scrolling down to the next page. Virulence, attributes of uropathogens. Most of these bacteria originate from the gut and reach the urinary tract by progressive colonization via the perineal area. Exactly. Just saying it in a different way. And that these bugs have, reading down a little lower, flagella. The bacteria have flagella. They have little arms that swim like tails and enable the bacteria to swim along the urinary tract upstream from the bladder to the kidneys. That's how it spreads. They have little flagella that swim. And as they swim, they secrete poisons. Haemolysin, cytotoxic necrotizing factor. And that disrupts the barrier, the epithelial barrier. Now, there's the key word. See what I put? Big deal. Epithelial barrier. If you've got the anatomy, we're going to go back to it. Now you understand how these bugs get in. They disrupt the spaces between the cell membranes. Well, maybe not in you. And maybe not in you. Maybe that integrity of the cell membrane is something that one person maintains and another person doesn't maintain. And what's that about? We'll get to it. Look at the other little trick, which enable bacteria to chelate iron that is important for growth. These bacteria pull iron into themselves. They steal the iron that they can access in the blood down in those areas. If you're urinating iron, if there's a little blood there, it feeds the infection. The infection causes the blood, and then the iron in the blood is eaten by the bacteria, which strengthens the bacteria. These things are smart. Let's get back to that word, epithelial barrier. Now let's go up again to that picture. Just scroll up to the picture we looked at. Look at those little bricks. Each cell has a membrane around it. That membrane is composed of fat. Right there, your essential fatty acid deficiencies. Do not underestimate the importance of protein. Protein deficiencies, fat deficiencies, simple stuff, easy stuff. How many times I've seen people suffer their whole life from simple stuff. Here's a third one. So start making the lists. Essential fatty acid deficiency is going to what? Disrupt that membrane, because the membrane's made of fat. Protein deficiency. In a moment, you're going to see why protein deficiency is disastrous with chronic infection. In a moment, you're going to see how one of the things the body does is it takes the superficial epithelium and it throws it away. The body in a chronic bladder infection, somebody that gets it, somebody that gets an infection that's a little bit more serious, we will observe the superficial epithelium to simply drop off. into the stream of urine. The body says, you know what? Here's a solution. We'll digest ourselves. We'll get rid of that. If you get rid of it, you better repair it fast. And if you're protein deficient, you can't. We're going to look at that again. So as you understand the anatomy and as you understand the structure, you can start to understand the nutrition. Membrane integrity is first and foremost an issue of essential fatty acids. Are you digesting those fats? Are you consuming those fats? Secondarily, protein deficiency, in that there will be enormous rate of turnover. Lots of people who are cachexic, meaning you can see they're not thriving. They can't put on that extra 5 to 10 pounds they need. They look puny. They look like they need some meat on the ribs. These people are in cachexia. Their metabolisms are so defective they cannot put on mass. And that healthy mass shows you they're in an anabolic state, an anabolic as in they can make their cells. And you're going to need to make your cells when your body's trying to beat an infection and digesting your cells. Is that fascinating? Is that different? Isn't that different? I mean, I'm sorry, who's going to talk to you about chronic bladder infections like this? Anybody? I don't know anybody. No one ever talked to me about it like this. You have to piece it together. You got to use your noodle. You have to study. You have to experiment. And you have to keep integrating. And between all the data is the beauty of it. Now let's keep going. We're going down now. You're where I put big deal. You can see that. And steel iron. And we're going to go a little lower. Just keep scrolling. Just keep strolling. Go to that second big picture. So you're all the way down on, go down to 4 of 19, the bottom of the page. On the left side, it says 4 of 19. And then that next page, figure 2, where I write, just give a glance. Figure 2, you scroll down a couple of pages. Figure 2, just give a glance. I just want you to give a glance to this now. We don't want to take showtime for this. This will get out of hand now. A robust and complicated network of innate immune responses can be initiated in the bladder in response to infection. Not going to get into it. Just give it a glance. It's absolutely fascinating, the war that goes down. But just look at that picture. You see that blood vessel on the bottom where you see macrophage, neutrophil, mast cell? Look at those cells coming up from the basement membrane through all those transitional layers and all the way up to the surface to fight. The body takes them from the back line, the deep line, and brings them to the front. And from there, a whole cascade of absolutely fascinating processes occur. We're not going to get into that. We're just going to keep scrolling. So from that picture that you're looking at, scroll to the bottom of that page, to the bottom of 519, and just now on 619, just before you get to, well, go back to that picture. I'm not explaining. Go to the picture. Just give a glance. Scroll down to the bottom of that page. Now you're on the next page where you see many implications. It says many implications. A more drastic mechanism used by the bladder to reduce bacterial load is shedding the superficial epithelial layer. A more drastic mechanism used by the bladder to reduce bacterial load is shedding the superficial layer. Conceivably, massive shedding of that epithelial layer may also be a homeostatic action to temper the inflammatory response, as excess release of pro-inflammatory mediators can be harmful. Look at that. Like I said, shedding that layer, you better have the reserve on top of it. Look at that, a highly proliferative state to restore the epithelial barrier. When stem cell-like progenitors at the basal layer of the urothelium sense injury. They secrete SHH, which activates WNT signaling pathway. You understand that, because it's just common sense. Once the body to fight the infection sheds the epithelial layer, other chemicals will be secreted to proliferate and rebuild that layer much faster. If you've got the health, if you've got the reserve, that is hormonally driven, and you've got to have the building blocks to do it. If you really study the natural mechanisms, and that's what this article's about, the natural mechanisms, if you study them, you can make dozens of common sense inferences into how it goes right and how it goes wrong. It's common sense. Sick people don't heal well. A sick person walks in sick and says, I have a UTI infection. And then we just look at the bladder. And if we study it, what we find is that all the defenses that the body's learned evolutionarily to mobilize depend on a healthy body. But we overlook that. Nobody ever says to somebody, you know what? Your general health is so poor that you're going to get chronic UT infections. You can't mobilize the response. So one thing we're doing for you today is laying the groundwork for you to understand that you can't approach a chronic bladder infection through the bladder. You have to approach it through the health of the body. Did the light finally go on? Happy New Year to me. If the light finally went on. Are you seeing it from the way I see it? I mean, why else would I do this? There are many other things I can do. Aside from being fascinated by these processes, this is what I'm trying to get to you. This is the purpose of this show. Because if you start to take it that way, you can apply it to any health concern. And you can drive that health concern into the dust. You're being misdirected. You're being propagandized. And even if most of it's innocent, which I truly believe it is, or ignorant, it can't be tolerated because the outcomes are poor. Wait till we get to interstitial cystitis. That's a problem where we don't even find an infection. And we've got a whole dredge of people saying, well, we don't find the infection, but that infection's there. So let's just keep throwing more tissue samples under electron microscopes of dead people that have had interstitial cystitis or whatever. And then we're going to find these infections and we're trapped in the same stupid paradigm. Okay. I'm done with that article. You're probably happy. No. You're going to go back and you're going to look at this by yourself and garner from it. You're going to listen to the show again, straighttalk.cc. If you're new to the show, welcome. If you've got issues that need counsel, 714-850-1007, 714-850-1007. I can get you on track. You see, this is a labyrinth. Healing a body is a labyrinth. Case in point, I rest my case just on the basis of what we've done in this little bit of time today on the bladder. Go to the top of the page, urine, pH, and infection. Scroll down to the second page, E. coli. We don't know why certain people seem to be prone to UT tract infections. PPH. We were interested in studying how the body naturally fights infections. I'm scrolling down. We could divide these urine samples into a bunch of groups. And they noticed that there was a protein. Now you're going to page 3. This protein is called siderocalcin, and past research that it helps the body fight infection by depriving bacteria of iron. Now, look at this. I'll make a long story short with this article. This is an easy article to read, so read it on your own. Basically, what they found is that these bacteria eat iron. That's how they grow. A mineral necessary for bacterial growth. And siderocalcin is the protein that pulls the iron away from the bacteria so the bacteria would die. Who can activate siderocalcin? People with an alkaline urine pH. Contrary to the current medical model. The vagina has to be acidic. The large intestine, colon, has to be acidic. The urine coming down the bladder, if it's on the alkaline side, 6, 8, 7, in that zone, you're going to have way more activated siderocalcin, and it's going to knock down the incidence. I'm not talking significantly, more than significantly. So right there, chronic bladder infections, what's the urine pH until you pull it alkaline? There's the research. What are we suffering from? You read this article by yourself. Fascinating article. Great stuff. Another nutritional. EFAs, protein deficiencies, urine pH, healthy immune system as regulated by sleep. Now, if you want to get into the herbs, it's easy. Google it up on any website. I'm not going to bore you with that. I can tell you that Premier Research Lab, I mean, for the bladder, almost second to none. I put a bunch on the show, UT Cran Ultra, Alicide, Neurovin, Ultrapollen. Great stuff. If you go to picture number 23, asparagus root is a diuretic. Gravel root to break up the little kidney sand. Stinging nettle, corn silk. Watermelon seed is a diuretic. Uva ursi has a compound in it called arbutin. Arbutin, look it up. It's got something in it called arbutin. Arbutin does not activate unless the pH in the urine is alkaline. Isn't that fascinating? Isn't that fascinating? Arbutin needs more alkaline pH. Great stuff. You know, this is the typical issue. People just throw down these herbs, hopefully in large enough dosages. I don't think it's complicated. I think it's complicated when what usually works doesn't work. And that's when you have to start thinking outside the box of herbs and outside the box of antibiotics. And that's what this show is about. Let's come on down here to picture number 27. Go to picture 27. There's the vagina. There's the anus. Now look at that. There's the vagina. There's the anus. Right at the top of that vagina. I think you can barely see it. You can't really see it. Right at the top of the vagina, you can't even see it, unfortunately. But this is such a perfect picture of my point earlier. If that anus is in you, and this will vary woman to woman, a little too close or closer or relatively speaking closer, how are you going to do that? Well, you got to use your imagination on that. But it is a reality. There is significant variation in the length, depending on the shape of the pelvis, between the anal sphincter and that urinary bladder, the female urethra. And the closer, the more susceptible you will be. Now let's bring into something else here. Go down to picture number 30, the episiotomy. Ladies, if you're scarred from tears, forget about it. Forget about it. If you've got chronic bladder infections, interstitial cystitis, and you've had episiotomies or cesareans, please look no further. And understand that the integrity of the musculara down there, the integrity of those muscles, is no longer capable of the type of forceful contraction that you had before you tore. And those forceful contractions are the structural derivative. Those forceful contractions of the perineal muscles are pumping the bladder, just like the male, pumping the prostate. And when scars wrap themselves around muscle bands and you can't get those intense tractions. Worse yet, when bones like the sacrum area, the sacral, the L5, S1 area, when they begin to become fibrotic, when they become rigid, wrapped in scars, with weak muscles, that whole area goes dead. And you can be 20 years old and that whole area can be dead. So understand, there's a structural aspect to this, and that structural aspect has to do with tone, it has to do with alignment, it has to do with strength. And I'm not talking about the Kegel exercises, please. Don't make me fall off my chair. Don't even say Kegel to me, please. Say Rolf. Say, Dr. Medici, I looked at picture number 13. Go to picture number 13. Look at that psoas muscle. Now go to picture number 14. Look at the size of that muscle. Where is the bladder? The bladder's way down low, just above the pubic bone. And if that psoas muscle, now go to picture 15. Blow up 15 a little bit. Take your time here. If you look at the person on the right with a healthy psoas muscle, go down low, just above the thigh, just in between the blue line and the red psoas muscle, just about where your bladder is going to be. Look at the position of that psoas and the person on the right. That person on the left, his psoas has pulled all the way forward. It's come short. It's come short. We'll call this a female now. It's come short and it's gone forward. That's you. Whoever you are, that's you. Unless you really understand what it is to have a competent psoas muscle, that's you. And the minute that muscle goes anterior, it crushes the bladder. The anteriority of the psoas is a tremendous structural stress to the integrity of the bladder. And once the bladder succumbs this way, once its integrity has been challenged, now go to picture 6. Picture 6, nerves to the bladder. Put that bladder in there, put it in front of the psoas. Now pull the psoas short, bring it anterior, crush the bladder, and pull all those nerves with it. Now let's go slice with an episiotomy or a tear, vagina towards the anus, midline or lateral. Now let's add a cesarean to that. Now so think of it. Think of the perfect structural storm. A cesarean, an episiotomy, some weight gain, an anteriorly displaced psoas, and L5 to the sacrum is almost fused and locked. You want to know that? That's about half of American women after the age of 60, even 50. We say in Chinese medicine they've lost their root. There's no root integrity. There's nothing down low that allows space and pulsing and pumping. That means lymphatic flow out, arterial flow in. That means the nervous system cannot deliver the current. When we're talking about going back up now, go back up. Well, don't go back up. In your mind, go back up. Go back up to your thoughts about the immune system. If you don't deliver the current off the parasympathetic nerves into the bladder, that immune system doesn't know what to do. Neuroendocrine immune. The neurological system, the immune system, and the endocrine system, they're one system. So that if you're not dealing with the structural integrity of those areas as derived from a competent psoas, again, if you're new to the show, you've got to get to my website at straighttalk.cc. I have a large audience that's been educated. We have over 1,000 people who have subscriptions. That's a very large group of people that listen. I know I've got the pulse. I know there are a bunch of people that know they need to learn more. I welcome you to be one of them. So get to the website, straighttalk.cc, and if you've got a real health issue that you need insights into, 714-850-1007. 714-850-1007. if you really want to take it on the right way, believe me, you're going to spend way more the wrong way. You got to keep that in mind. Do it the right way, and you spend less. Do it the wrong way, and you'll always spend way more. Now, picture six, that's the neurological system. Those yellow nerves get twisted, and that's the end of all these biochemical mechanisms. And that's a structural issue. That's an incompetent psoas, and I'll leave it to you. Those scars have to be dealt with. How do you deal with a scar? It's my other shows. I will advance you, though, as far as what we all might suspect it is to remediate a scar. If you've got cesareans, if you've got episiotomies, you have to go back to yesteryear when you had power in that perineum, when those vaginal walls were squeezed and you felt strength there. Do you remember the days? I'll be a little bit, respectfully blatant here. When you were first making love, those first early years in your marriage, and that vaginal ring constricted, and your partner could feel the constriction of the vaginal wall around the penis. You had real strength there. At 50 years old, after a woman's had a child or two or three, after she's torn, after she's had cesareans, there's nothing there. She's lucky that she can hold her urine. And this is what I'm talking about, this type of structural integrity breached. When that structural integrity is strong, the pulsing, the pumping, the draining, and the integrity of the nervous system. Once it's lost, you can pump all the nutrition you want in there. You have much bigger problems. You have to factor that in specific to you. Indeed. Indeed. Look at this. Look at picture 17. Picture 17. This is just a little thread from Reich, Wilhelm Reich. There's no case. I'm going to get more to interstitial cystitis now. Interstitial cystitis. Pain in the bladder and no infection found. Go to Reich. Ladies out there, you with interstitial cystitis. I have never seen a case of it that didn't have a heavy psychological factor, that wasn't heavily implicated with psycho-emotional tension in that pelvic region. And you have Reich to look at. You have Piracos to look at. Reich proved this. Alexander Lowen, to some extent Rolf, Stanley Kellerman, tons of people who work with emotion trapped in tissue. Me, from this clinical standpoint, how many cases of interstitial cystitis, how many people have told me they suffer from it? I have yet to see a single case of it where there wasn't a great deal of psycho-emotional constriction down in those areas. Your physiology will go kaput. Nothing works right. And we look for this infection that we're never going to find. And even if we do, we're never going to know what to do about it. And even if there's one there, it's just derived out of a depression in the electromagnetic field that relates to the soul of you, the consciousness of you is tortured. It is a tortured consciousness. And that is what Reich is saying. And do not think that is not medical. And do not think that is not palpable, discernible, diagnosable, understandable. It is written all over your face, those of you who have chronic interstitial cystitis. I kid you not, I have yet to see an exception. This one, the interstitial cystitis. Look to the works of the somatic body workers, of the somatic healers. Credentialed all the way up to MD, PhD, and right down to the local massage therapist. You will find your answers there. Interstitial cystitis is in part psychological, and it is in part structural. Which isn't to say that you can remove the nutritional components, which isn't to say that to get you to first base with an interstitial cystitis, you wouldn't approach it nutritionally. But you have to have the right perspective. So your interstitial cystitis is structural in all the ways I've defined structure. Your interstitial cystitis is emotional in all the ways on 240 shows I've defined emotion. I submit to you, Nolly. Look, go to the top and just look at Nolly for a moment. Just press that YouTube clip and look at this woman and just scroll into it 30 seconds. Just scroll into it 30 seconds. Scroll into it 30 seconds. Scroll into it 40 seconds. And look at this woman. Scroll into it one full minute. One full minute into the YouTube clip. And ask yourself, do you think that woman will ever suffer from interstitial cystitis? Do you think she will ever suffer from bladder infections? Do you think she'll ever suffer from anything down there? I kid you not. I cite this as an example of really the high, high level of sophistication that you can bring to structural concerns. Structural concerns, if you look at her a minute 40 into that, go a minute and 40 seconds and just marvel at what this woman is doing. Do that and understand that that's eventually where all of this leads. It leads to a sophistication structurally that allows you to pump out disease. You have interstitial cystitis. You have incontinence. Tone it out and pump it out and use those herbs to facilitate it. That's the answer to chronicity. 714-850-1007. 714-850-1007. We'll see you next week. God bless you.
You've been listening to Straight Talk on Health with Dr. Vincent Medici. Invite your family and friends to the show and learn about Dr. Medici through his website, straighttalk.cc. He'll give you the tools you need to save your health and prevent unnecessary surgeries and harmful drugs. He's dedicated to your ultimate healing. Join Dr. Medici next week at 10 a.m. for more Straight Talk on Health. This show and the information therein has not been evaluated by the FDA, and recommended products are not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease. The information provided on this site is for informational purposes only and is not intended as a substitute for advice from your physician or other healthcare professional.